Can we have a roll call, please?
Dan Moore.
Here.
Yvette Itu.
Here.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wow, you know who the safety force is on.
Let's see, we have all the minutes of, a motion on the minutes.
Yeah, move to approve minutes of April 25th.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. We're going to move this around a little bit. So I know you're fascinated to hear all the finances. It only takes a half an hour, but I think we'll move it up and swear in the police officers first. So we'll do it all at once, if that's okay.
So right. Police officers, sergeants, and the promotional of the lieutenant, please come forward.
Yes, good.
Just state your position.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'll do this right out here. Are we all here? Whoops, wait, I have my sheet. Sorry, here.
I think you got that.
That's it. Thanks. Well, this looks like a real aggressive group here today. Let's see. We'll start. Aye, and state your name.
Aye, Kristen Taylor.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
And the laws of the United States of America.
And laws of the United States of America.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
And the rules and regulations of the Cleveland Metro Parks.
And the rules and regulations of Cleveland Metro Parks.
And I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability.
And I will discharge the duties to the best of my abilities.
Of, and then please state, police officer, sergeant, or lieutenant.
Of the office of lieutenant.
To which I've been appointed. I will faithfully carry out and implement.
I will faithfully carry out and implement.
The policies enunciated.
The policies enunciated.
And the instructions given to me by the Board of Park Commissioners.
And the instructions given to me by the Board of Park Commissioners.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
This I promise to do as I shall answer unto God.
This I promise to do as I shall answer unto God.
Congratulations.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is a great day for our family, our brothers and sisters in blue, black, as we wear it here in the Cleveland Metro Parks. But this is also a bittersweet moment. As we all know, this is National Police Week, where we honor those that have given the ultimate sacrifice in protecting everyone in the United States of America. As we all know, we lost Officer Durbin just last week from the Euclid Police Department in a very horrific ambush that took his life at such a very young age. So as we celebrate today, please keep those officers that have given the ultimate sacrifice in your thoughts and prayers. I'd like to thank the commissioners, Brian Zimmerman, Harold Harrison, HR, that allows me to continue to further our endeavors with our police department. We are getting bigger and better and stronger every day, yet we are not where we need to be. We still have a job to do. That's why these men and women that are standing behind me are joining our ranks and continuing their careers with promotions to sergeants and lieutenant and new officers. So I just want to thank Brian and everybody in the Cleveland Metro Parks organization that allows me to do this on a daily basis. This is the greatest place in the world to work. I say that wholeheartedly. And to our new officers, Kurt, Kayla, our new sergeants, Rick, Brandon, and our new lieutenant, Luis, congratulations, job well done.
Now, it's perfectly okay if you want to stay for the financial report. But other than that, you can be excused if you choose to leave.
As they're signing, I'd like to acknowledge Curtis came to us from the City of Lakewood Municipal Office. He graduated from Bowling Green with a Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice. Michaela is joining us. She received her Ohio Peace Officer Training at Lorraine Community College. So we'd like to welcome them as our new officers. Our two promotions for sergeants, Rick DeChant, we'd like to congratulate him, and Brandon Richard from joining our sergeant ranks. And also Luis Santiago Isre on his promotion to lieutenant. He's been with us since 2016, and we couldn't be happier with these new appointments. The recommended action, appointing all to their positions. We'll take them one by one. The recommended action for police officers is in the top portion of page 9.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The second is in the mid portion to the bottom of page 9 for our sergeants.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the very last one for our new lieutenant is on the top portion of page 10.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. If you'd like to stay, you're welcome to stay. If you want to take pictures, you can exit stage left over here. Financial report, Wade.
Yeah, that's right.
Commissioners, behind you on the screen is this month's financial report. We're reporting through the first 4 months of the fiscal year. And I'm not advancing, David. There we go. Okay. Actually, I jumped ahead because I was so excited about 5 new officers. I think that's awesome. That I did want to acknowledge that the finance team is here today, as the commissioners know, and Brian and the rest of the senior staff. We had our post audit meeting. Our audit went off without a hitch. It's another perfect audit for the Cleveland Metro Parks. Big compliments go to Rachel LaRussa, who's our director of accounting, who helped us with our annual comprehensive financial report, oversaw that whole compilation, her team, and then of course Gary Butzbeck, who all of you know, who's our controller. So I want you to know who that was in the audit. One item that might be unique, you might wonder, wow, how do we have a negative number in revenues for grants and gifts? So before anyone asks the question, we had to return the $2 million to Cuyahoga County related to Forest Hill when we didn't move forward with that project. It had been recorded as revenue, so you had to back the revenue out. So that's why that's negative there. That's the only item that's kind of unique that I wanted to draw your attention to on the consolidated statements. I don't know why this is. Oh, there we go. Okay. Kind of on the zoo, just wanted to point out that through 4 months, our attendance is up, paid attendance is up 27.8%, which is excellent given the weather we've had. We're going to talk a little bit more about the weather when we get to the golf slide, because that gets most impacted. And down toward the bottom, you can see that we're about right in line with where we were last year in terms of subsidy through 4 months. The zoo is doing well. We're excited to kick off the busy season. We've got Swan Voyage going on. Dinos are here. And so things are really going well down there. But right now, year to date, attendance is up, and we're doing well at the zoo. Consolidated golf. You'll notice that we were down greens fees in April. A couple reasons. The first and foremost is there were 14 days of rain in April. I was intrigued by that. I wanted to take a quick look. And out of the first 12 days, 9 of those were rain in the month of April. So we got kind of a slow start. So rounds played were down 8.7% this month, which is why you have that negative rounds played revenue. But when you look at the year to date, we're still exceeding last year. We're doing well. And total rounds played, when you factor out Ironwood year to date, are up 20.1%. So we're excited about that. And when we go to the individual courses, the one that I did want to point out, we don't want to go through all of them because we're 4 months in and we're still feeling it out. But I think we do need to raise up Big Met. Big Met's rounds played through the first 4 months of 2024 are up 91%. Could be various reasons. Maybe the other courses are full and people are choosing Big Met. Maybe Big Met now, people have found it and they're playing it, but the rounds played being up 91%.
It's Most of these are just weather related. You take a weekend on the west side where you get rain, it takes out a number. So a lot of these anomalies, I mean, we're running at a very high capacity from our tee times, you know, from start to finish during the day, but a rain weekend can change the numbers pretty dramatically.
Brian, what do you think our market share is in golf in our metro area? I mean, would it be, are golf courses closing? Yeah, I mean, because it's rather remarkable.
I think when you look at quality and opportunity, availability, and pricing, we certainly fit the niche. You have a public facility in Euclid, public facility in Parma, Grantwood. You've got one out in Solon. So there are still some municipal golf left. Some have changed. Hickory Nut is one of them that was bought and will be turned into houses, Songbird Hills houses. We've bought Afterhurst, Acacia, and Hawthorne. So that's three that are now closed. So I think there's been a correction essentially since the mid-90s when the boom really went up. Now, some of those were private clubs for a lot of years, but you know, in general, I think we have a very strong product. Our market share is very strong. Highland Park from the city of Cleveland, now under a contract, is what's really left from a municipal golf standpoint in this area. There's a couple on the fringe on the west side here as well, but we have a very strong position.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Commissioner, the other thing that was shared by our audit committee or with the audit committee is municipal courses struggle to make money. Compliments to Joe Rozak, Dave Donner, and the golf team. Our golf courses make money. Municipal golf courses struggle, and all of our golf courses make money. They're very profitable. We'll go to enterprise. The only item I wanted to raise up is right now concessions are down year to date, $53,610. That's primarily driven by Merwin's. We've talked about Merwin's right now. Operating revenue at Merwin's is just off from where it was last year. We're continuing to monitor that. I know the team down there is watching that. And now that we're into the busy season, we'll see what happens. It's hard to judge 4 months in. These are the first 4 months of the year. We've been opening all of our other enterprise locations this last month, getting ready for Memorial Day and what I would call the busy season. So we'll wait till we get to June or July and see how we look. But right now, we're just down a little bit from where it was. And then the last slide, we've talked about this a few times, but it is just something we want to continue to talk about, and that's how well retail is doing. It's up $115,000 just through 4 months this year compared to where it was through 4 months last year. And its overall profitability has improved $74,630, or almost $75,000. Good products, good execution. Big compliments to the retail team at the Nature Shops. They're just doing a really good job there. Those were the only highlights I had, commissioners, through the first 4 months. I didn't know if there were any questions.
No, I'm good.
Commissioner Moore, before we move on, just one other thing the audit report reviews annually is our public records program compliance. And I just want to report that we again achieved the highest status that we can achieve according to the State of Ohio auditor. So that's excellent work. And I want to give kudos to Dana Eppley, Priscilla Roca, Megan Thrasher, and our marketing team, because it's a ton of work to get that done well and in compliance with Ohio law. So congratulations to those folks.
Excellent.
Thank you, Rosa. I forgot to mention that.
Let's see. We will continue with it. Brian, with your...
Yeah, good morning, everyone. This morning we have with us four retiring guests that represent nearly 100 years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks.
Wow.
Chris, are you doing the introductions, or we could have Katie do it for...
This is weird. I don't know where she...
You can take it over there.
Yeah.
Okay, good morning, commissioners. Chief talked about a great day for the police family. I will say today is a bittersweet day for the Zoo family. We have three retiring guests that total just here 90 years of experience here with Cleveland Metro Parks. I think combined professionally over 100 years of experience. And then when you add in a retirement we had less than a year ago, the Zoo Education Department has lost 120 years of Cleveland Metro Parks experience in the past calendar year. So while I'm very excited for all of them, it's a big change for us. And Katie Kaur is our new Director of Education and Engagement. She's here today. So she has big shoes to fill, but we're really excited. So I'll start with Deidre Thompson. Come on up. So Deidre has been with Metro Parks for 32 years, I believe. Deidre has been in a variety of roles in her period with the Metro Parks, working with everything from the ambassador animals, which are have been core to our education programs over the years, to summer camps, to zoo crew. And I can say that while Deidre is very soft-spoken, she is unbelievably professional. And having had two kids go through summer camps and zoo crew, they both adored Deidre and how much time she spent with them and the compassion she has around teaching and developing them. So we're really going to miss her and her leadership in our education programs.
On behalf of Anthony V. Russo, our Board of Park Commissioners, we'd like to recognize you for your more than 32 years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks. Reading through this, there's a tremendous amount of career achievements, community service, leadership award, curriculum category. You have really stayed true to the mission of the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. Your time, talents, and efforts will be truly missed. We are so happy for you and your retirement. Congratulations.
Next up, I'll have Christine Cornack come up. And you'll notice that Christine is way too excited about retiring. So like Deidre, Christine did a number of things in her time here, but largely what she was our liaison to the public schools, in particular CMSD. Christine was largely in charge of our education programs that were tied to school districts and tied to that interpretation piece, and kind of our outward facing education programs and tying that into the community. And a lot of work making those connections with making sure we were connecting with the state education standards and what the school districts wanted, but also then coordinating all of those school buses that are currently lining up outside to get into the zoo in May. So Christine's been a big part of this organization for, again, over 30 years. So thank you. Congratulations.
31 years of service. And again, on behalf of Anthony J. Russo, our Board of Park Commissioners, and the thousands and thousands of kids that you help corral and wrangle and get to their all of their wonderful locations, truly a lasting impact on the education community here in Northeast Ohio and the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. Congratulations on the retirement. I know you're very excited.
And finally, our short timer, Vicky Searles is retiring with only 27 years at Cleveland Metro Park. But experience at also the Columbus Zoo in Zoo Atlanta. That's actually where I first met Vicky, was at Zoo Atlanta many years ago. Vicky's been a strong leader in this education program. She really took our programs to the next level, winning multiple AZA awards. And one of the things that I think that Vicky did very well was provide a number of different opportunities for her education team over the years in terms of development and different opportunities. And I think that shows up in the fact that we have people retiring after 30 years with the organization and a lot of that under Vicky's leadership. So we're going to miss Vicky and her leadership, but we're excited for your future.
I don't know if you noticed, but Wade stood. Apparently, they were classmates down in Ohio State. We just heard a fun little fact this morning in government, which is really pretty cool, coming full circle. Reading through your retirement resolution is truly a capstone of your 27 years here. It's hard to put into words all of your wonderful accomplishments from Wolf Wilderness, the African Elephant Crossing, OPRA, NIA, AZA. You are a true professional, and I can tell you from firsthand, one of the first times I met her, she stood up for her staff. You remember?
I do.
It told me a lot about who she was. I give her a lot of credit. I'm really proud for you here. Retirement.
Say that working here at the zoo with the professionals that our national leaders has been a true honor and a huge pleasure.
Ray, come on up. Ray Makos is retiring. Well, actually, he retired about, 2 months ago now? Ray?
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
This is also the first time I woke up this
morning. And he just came back from Puerto Rico, right? Okay. All right, good for you. Ray has a long tenure here with the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department. He's been around a long time. We lose a lot of expertise and knowledge and community service. And Ray was always one to do above and beyond what was expected to help out the people that came down to recreate in our great organization, which was over 19 million last year. So Ray, we're going to miss you. I want to thank you personally and professionally for doing a great job for me and for everybody here at the Cleveland Metro Parks organization. And don't be a stranger. We look forward to seeing you many times in the future.
On behalf of Anthony J. Russo, the Board of Park Commissioners, we'd like to recognize you for your more than 19 years of committed service to Cleveland Metro Parks. Certainly seeing you in the parks, you will be missed. We appreciate everything you've done to keep us safe, right? Congratulations.
Shortened speech. Was 3 pages when I started. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the board for this recognition. More importantly, I'd like to thank Chief Kelly Stillman for providing this department with the experience of what having a true leader in law enforcement is. And I would also like to thank CEO Brian Zimmerman for tracking down and making the exceptional decision to appoint such an experienced and outstanding chief to the state. Thank you. As I surpassed 32 years of public service and approached nearly 27 years of law enforcement, I began thinking about the beginning, how did I get here? After several years at the Lakefront State Parks, staffing levels dwindled through retirements, transfers to other parks, as we were informed that Cleveland Metro Parks was seeking stewardship of the lake. Foreseeing that I could be an asset to the Cleveland Metro Park Ranger Department, I obtained employment. I did thoroughly enjoy my early role in educating and advising strategies, which were going to be required for the Cleveland Metro Park Ranger Department to enter into this demanding enforcement undertaking. Unfortunately, Cleveland Metro Parks did not engage in a mass increase in police personnel as suggested, and simply allocated enforcement resources from legacy parks, parks which at one time experienced the safety and security of a ranger at every reservation. A ranger who knew their zones, who knew their regular park patrons, what belonged and didn't belong. Ranger who consistently and highly was visible and available to the public. A ranger whose response time to any call of service was on average 5 minutes as opposed to 15 to 20 minutes that we experience today. While also saddened me through my time here to watch over 35 of my brothers and sisters prematurely separate from this department, I do finally see a light at the end of the tunnel. As this department continues to hire at a challenging pace, there is also a technology which can be implemented to provide the police department with the means to quickly follow up on crimes committed within the parks, one that would allow an officer to be highly visible in one area and monitor another, two places at once. A technology which would provide the public a greater sense of safety and security, and one that would send a message to the criminal element: you can't do that here without getting caught. Please strongly consider the installation of a sophisticated video surveillance system strategically placed throughout the park district. Not merely a system which monitors points of sale or visitation populations. We have recently seen a camera installed here at the admin parking lot for the added safety and security of admin employees. Should not the general public experience a similar benefit? We can do better. You can do better. I'm strongly advising this is a drop in the bucket when it comes to the financial, you know, requirement to get some kind of added safety and security to this wonderful place that we have in Northeast Ohio that a lot of people understand and know that it is somewhat safe, but there's a lot of victims, people we take reports from every day, that understand it's not what they thought it was. In conclusion, I would like to once again thank Chief Stillman and his command staff for diligently pursuing more sustainable staffing levels, especially in this tumultuous societal environment for policing. I would like to thank the CEO and the board for granting those permissions. And thank you again for your recognition here today.
Recommended action: recognizing Christine Kornack, Ray Makos, Vicky Searles and Deirdre Thompson for their years of service falls on the top portion of page 12.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is 2024 budget adjustment number five. Wade?
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 13, you'll see budget adjustment number five. The amount of the budget adjustment is $2,067,601. There are two large items I would draw your attention to in this adjustment. One is $750,000 that's being appropriated for Old Lorraine Connector, the Old Lorraine Connector project. It's covered by new donations. And $480,000, which is appropriated for the North Chagrin Reservation Somme Center Wetlands Enhancement Project. And those are from settlement dollars that we received from the city of Willoughby. I would ask your approval of budget adjustment number five.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is the established date for the hearing of proposed 2025 tax budget. We, as in accordance with what we need to do to provide the tax budget annually, the date of the hearing will be June 5th of 2024 at 9:30. You're all welcome to come. The recommended action falls on the top portion of page 14.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the amendment to the management services agreement for volleyball club sports at the Lakefront Reservation. We've had quite a number of years of success of opportunities to provide opportunities through Cleveland Plays, Hermes Sports, and others. We are continuing to look at the management and operations with Hermes Sports in accordance with the remittance schedule that sits on the top portion of page 15. We've been very pleased with their work and their customer service to all that are having the opportunity to recreate on the lakefront. They also do have some capital investments that will continue to help maintain the volleyball courts and others. The recommended action falls in the top mid portion of page 15 to enter into the agreement with Hermes Sports and Events.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next item, number H, Rose.
Thank you, Brian. This is a situation where we were at a loggerheads with the party at fault in the damage of the Heritage Park docks. And we were not making any progress in the negotiations for them to cover the costs of the damages they clearly caused. So we prepared the action item at Brian's behest. He said, let's move forward because we're not making any progress and the taxpayers deserve full recovery of all of that, the cost of the damage. As a fortunate turn of events, we see that Rand Logistics Incorporated has realized that it is better to settle the matter than to incur the cost of litigation. And so at this time, we would like to recommend that the board entertain a motion to postpone indefinitely the action item to initiate the litigation against Rand Logistics to recover those damages for the destruction of the Heritage Park docks. And if we can resolve and get that settlement agreement, then we can remove that item from the agenda down the road.
Move to table subject to update from the law department.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
So Brian, can I just ask one question on that? Are those, was this an, it seems like there's a lot of room where the docks were.
Weather related. So it was a weather related incident.
It blew into, but they had bow thrusters and all of that.
I believe all of their equipment was functioning in a proper fashion. I don't have the history on that, but they came forward right away and it just, we were in a very slow process and I think the public demands that, you know, we are stewards and we wanted to keep pushing it forward. And since our legal team has worked very closely and diligently with them, and we're very happy for this, you know, level of conclusion to be able to, you know, repair them and get them moving. There is a 10 plus week lead time to fix some of these things. So it's not just as
simple as that. So, absolutely.
But we do appreciate the work that everybody's done and the Rand for coming to the table.
Very good. Thank you.
The next is the authorization of a land acquisition and a Clean Ohio Conservation Fund grant. This is part of the Euclid Beach Manufactured Home Trailer. This is the LLC property, 28.5 acres. Western Reserve Land Conservancy through the subsidiary collectively worked to acquire the property from ownership. This particular area inside of the Euclid Creek Reservation, collectively Euclid, Villa Angela, and Wildwood, has had a longstanding history of wanting to basically, what I would say, combine and really realize the full potential. The acquisition would contribute to the goals of collecting, connecting, and protecting our region's lakefront. A lot of kudos has to go to Western Reserve Land Conservancy, their entire board, through this process. They have worked diligently to follow the Federal Uniform Relocation Act, this property, real property acquisition policies. They have worked very hard to work past every single scenario that they have come forward. We have partnered with them on many other acquisitions in Brecksville Reservation. We've been able to bring those forward. We are asking the board for authorization to submit to Clean Ohio for 62% of the funds. Western Reserve will bring $800,000, the appraised value for the land donation, and total cost of $8,047,263. This has been something that the board has seen throughout the last probably year and a half, and they have worked very diligently with the residents, and our legal team has worked very diligently to review all of those URAs that are in place, and they are in the final stages of working with the residents. So it is a recommended action that falls on the bottom portion of page 17 to acquire through fee simple and then work with Clean Ohio to submit the grant.
Just a request from Rose. Can you state the conditions that are appended to this motion?
Yes, Commissioners. So Cleveland Metro Parks, you know, we will be the applicant for the Clean Ohio Grant Fund. And then, but as conditions precedent to acquiring the land, you know, all of the residents will be received and discussed, and a package will be prepared according to the URA. And each individual resident, and as we've worked with Western Reserve Land Conservancy, the effort that has gone into contacting and work with and understand each resident's scenario has been, you know, very impressive. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work that will continue. And all of those, you know, residents will have received their final payment or relocation package prior to Cleveland Metro Parks acquiring the property. So that is a condition precedent, as well as, you know, receipt of the Clean Ohio funding.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Move to approve.
One thing. I think this is a wonderful example of tremendous cooperation with other organizations. And over a long period of time, I see Matt Zones here today. Matt, thank you. And Rick has been, Rich Corcoran has been terrific. And going all the way back to Steve Morris. And how long has this thing been percolating, would you say?
I'm 50 years old. I don't know. It's been a long time.
It's 20 some years. So I think it's wonderful that so many people can pull together to make such an enormous accomplishment like this complete. It's terrific.
Again, the recommended action, Yvette E2 will abstain.
Abstain.
Recommended action falls in the bottom portion and the top portion of page 17 and 18 to enter into the agreement. And again, it is to be recognized Western Reserve Land Conservancy's hard and diligent work.
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next is approval of vouchers and payroll. Resolution number one. Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 26, you'll see resolution 24-05-054. It's the approval of vouchers in the amount of $11,249,891.32. All of the vouchers listed have been reviewed as to their legality, and they are in conformity with the Ohio Revised Code. I would ask your approval of those vouchers.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I took out of order the tabulation of award and bids. The recommended action falls in the top portion of page 19 for an HI payroll system, zoo various cranes, and a new garbage truck. recommended actions on top of 19.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Brittany was stalking me. And the next resolution for Arborware only. Wade?
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 27, you'll see resolution 24-05-055. Again, it's for the approval of vouchers. These are vouchers paid to Arborware in the amount of $635.44. Again, they've all been reviewed as to their legality, and they are all in conformity with the Ohio Revised Code.
I'll abstain, of course.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And Commissioner Moore is abstaining from that.
Yes.
The next, we have public comments.
Yes. All right.
Good morning. Here's hoping the audit conference will encourage some changes in how expenses are assigned and displayed so that enterprise reporting will more accurately reflect not just revenues, but the actual expenses for that venue. Beyond the CapEx, some other costs that I suspect are not broken out include golf's massive portion of TV ads and costs relating to golf course purchases. I was sorry to note that former Commissioner Barry, seemingly on board with all expenditures here, only reluctantly supported bird glass for the field house, indicating a concern for cost. Cost required to protect our endangered migrating birds from risks created by fancy downtown development decisions. If downtown Cleveland folks are willing to spend taxpayer dollars on bird safe glass for the field house, then why won't Metro Parks spend their taxpayer dollars on it? Even CWRU's library added it in 2019. You know that conservation you like to talk about? You need to set an example by actually doing it here on your home turf. Noting the change orders and visual upgrades for the Wallace Lake building, I am tempted to suggest camo paint to minimize the impact on the area. Beyond that, I trust that the on-site rescue craft storage has been included and will be available before the next tragedy. I raise many criticisms here in hopes of improving visitors' experience. I would certainly be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the retirement of Ray Mackles, who carried on traditions of original rangers, regulars who knew their area and worked to keep it and us safe. Lewis Road Field's popularity skyrocketed during COVID, with conflicts between riders, walkers, and loose dogs. He worked to ensure proper and courteous behavior by all visitors. There is much talk these days about the benefits of community policing for winning the trust and cooperation of the public. That certainly applies to Metro Parks as well. Thank you.
Marty, the downtown bird strikes, the glass strikes are terrible. And I've gone down to Key Tower in the early morning and I picked up a beautiful hummingbird. There are thousands. Yeah. Yeah.
Birds, glass is beautiful, but we can make it so we don't have.
I agree with you, but here, this is so much different. The properties we have are so much different than the ones downtown. I mean, like Key Tower is just, there's literally a flood of birds under.
Sure, Williams Building, but you can just put an auditorium for the zoo. I think your weird birds will be all those walls of glass, birds have been hit.
See,
I just wanted to comment that we've had zero bird strikes on the zoo administration building, including the new auditorium. Yes, there is glass, but the way the building is designed, it has led to zero bird strikes on that building since it's been open for just about a year. So while there is potential in any glass, we're not seeing that at the zoo administration building currently.
Thank you.
Good.
There are no more public comments. We've got Primate Forest project update. Chris?
So Sean and I are going to tag team this. So it's been about 18 months since I was in front of you all talking about the zoo's Zoo 150 campus plan. So this is the plan for all of the construction projects leading up to the zoo's 150th anniversary, the sesquicentennial, which is the word that I hate so much. But the sesquicentennial of the zoo will be in 2032. We opened in 1882, so we're coming up on 150 years. This is a document that our planning and design team designed about 2 years ago now. It shows a number of the construction projects that we have completed, as well as our plan for moving forward. This is just a sort of a listed summary, and the reason I framed it like this, these are basically the major capital projects that have been completed in Brian's tenure as CEO. You can see that they are almost equally split between projects that are focused on animals. I think when we talk about capital projects, the animal projects are the one that obviously get the attention. They're the ones that end up in the media. But we have a number of other capital projects that I categorized under human. These are both guest experience, revenue drivers, such as you know, the Circle Wildlife Carousel, the Soaring Eagle Zip Line, but also there are updates that have been important for updating the staff spaces, the administrative spaces, the Jack Joseph and Morton Mandel Welcome Pavilion, the Jack Joseph and Morton Mandel Auditorium are all part of the capital projects that we've rolled out over the past 10 years. Last month, Andy Kornack was in front of you all talking about our gorilla story. I don't feel it's appropriate for me not to get up here and show a cute baby animal photo. So you're always going to see one of those. So the reintroduction story of Kayembe and now Jamila and all the success we've had is an important part of our gorilla program. But another key part to that program is the success we've had around gorilla heart health and diet. Those are two major successes that we've had here. The diet is basically used around the world, as they refer to it as the Cleveland diet. This completely produce-based diet, getting animals off of biscuited and being able to track the impact that has on heart health. Currently, the way we have our exhibit design, the Primate Cat and Aquatics Building was built in 1978. We don't have a place to be able to do something like cardiac ultrasound, obviously in front of guests. I'm not sure that cardiac ultrasound existed in 1978, let alone someone thinking that we might do it on a gorilla someday. So as we're looking at our next big project, we don't have a facility that really represents all of our successes with our gorilla program. We're doing them in a building that's outdated and doesn't provide all the great opportunities for our animal care staff. What we've been talking about now for, gosh, probably 6 years is what we're referring to as the Primate Forest Project. And it's often been represented as a gorilla project. It kind of started as a gorilla project, but what it has evolved into is a project that allows us to create enhancements to our rainforest building. The rainforest is over 30 years old now. It's kind of hard to imagine, but it is over 30 years old now. It needs significant maintenance in the long term. But it also provides us an opportunity to reimagine our front entrance. We have an awkward front entrance. When the rainforest was built outside the existing footprint of the zoo, we have a combination of roads and crosswalks and peculiar entrances into the zoo footprint. When we talk about the Primate Forest Project, what it is a Primate Forest Project, right? It is gorillas, it's an enhancement to orangutans, but it's also a number of opportunities for us to provide better guest enhancement, better revenue opportunities for the zoo to support that earned revenue that Wade talks about every month, and then be able to provide a safer entrance and a more welcoming entrance into the zoo as you come into this space. So we've been actually working on this project for a little while. We replaced the rainforest dome in 2020. So during COVID, we were actually able to replace that dome, and we used a material called ETFE. This is a lightweight film plastic that allows 80% of ultraviolet light to pass through it, which provides a number of benefits. One, it allows animals to get ultraviolet light during the winter. Two, it allows us to capture that solar radiation in the winter and be able to warm that space and not rely as heavily on our heating plants. So this project was completed in 2020. We also replaced chillers in 2020, 2021 in that building. So we've already been investing in Primate Forest. These are some images of what we're talking about with Primate Forest. This ETFE roofing allows us to build a large gorilla habitat under a roof. which allows the animals to be in a large space in the winter. It allows them to have access to ultraviolet light in the winter. It also allows guests a large space that they can move around in. They can take their jackets off in. They can bring kids to run around in January and February when the weather's not great. Provides us some shoulder month benefits, which we think are going to have an opportunity to help us grow our attendance. This is an early rendering of the building. Again, this building is both a gorilla wing and an orangutan wing, but also a central amenities pavilion that allows us to update our food court, allows us to update our gift shop, allows us to provide educational and rental spaces that really benefit the organization. This is an image of a rendering of what the inside of the gorilla forest would look like, right? So if you want to connect kids to nature, that's hard to do in January. It's hard to do in the winter. And this is about as close to an Africa experience as many residents of Northeast Ohio are going to get. So this is an immersion opportunity that allows us to talk about forests and provides a really healthy environment for our animals.
Chris, are you worried at all about leakage with all these panels coming together?
So this roofing material is designed in such a way, we have it on the rainforest dome right now. We've had zero issues with it. It's been used on zoo exhibits in Europe for 20 plus years. It's been used on botanical gardens. It's used on a couple of smaller scale zoo exhibits in the US, and they've had zero issues with leakage. It's an amazing product. And it's just sort of now just getting it into, you know, mainstream use in the US. They're using it a lot in stadiums right now. Every new sports stadium that's been built over the past 5-10 years is using this. Allegiant, SoFi, the Viking Stadium, Globe Park in Texas, they're all employing this material, and everyone seems to be super happy with it.
Very good.
Again, I mentioned the research programs that we're able to do. This allows us to do that work in front of the guests, right? This allows us to talk about the importance of diet, the importance of exercise, how we care for animals. It allows us to show that, which is actually something that's extremely popular with guests. We just don't have a lot of opportunity to do that. What just happened there? Both the orangutan and the gorilla side will have an outdoor habitat as well to allow us additional space in the summer season to expand our exhibits, but they will have indoor exhibits as well that prioritize that climbing and activity that's so important for our animal spaces. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we're building into this rental spaces, right, to provide us an opportunity to earn back revenue, to continue to grow opportunities, to make connections in the community, meeting spaces, and these being built out where you can actually look out into a gorilla habitat, we think we'll have, they'll be very popular. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sean to talk a little bit about what our strategy is in terms of moving this forward, getting closer to being able to talk about a beginning.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning, Commissioner. So we've been working hard, as you've heard, for several years. We've assembled a really strong team. We've got Van Aken Alkins Architects with WDM Architects, who have done work at Roseburg Tiger Passage and also Asian Highlands. A.M. Higley is our construction manager. They've also done a lot of work with us, Edgewater Beach House, Asian Highlands as well. So we're working with this very strong and capable team to understand how best to construct this project, because we have to do so in phases, both in a fundraising standpoint with our partners at the Zoological Society, but also in terms of how we deliver this and how this impacts and works within the operations of the zoo. So you'll see here in the coming months that we will be bringing packages forward to you, starting with some site enabling package work, so some site work, utilities, roadway prep, and then we're looking to break the project into several phases, first starting with this, what we're calling the central amenities building, and the atrium here, working with Cross Country Mortgage and their great sponsorship. While we're doing this work, we intend to perform the renovation of the rainforest, so that when the first phase of this work is done, we hope to have the atrium, new concessions area, the rainforest, and then the outdoor orangutan yards as well. So it's a challenging environment right now in terms of construction costs, and we've been working very hard to bring forward the most economical project possible. And we think with A.M. Higley and our team, we've done just that. So with that, you'll see additional information here in the coming weeks and months as we hope to break ground and plan to break ground this fall.
Sean, you want this done. When was that?
Right now, the goal for the first phase of work, so that would be the central atrium space and the orangutan space here as well, including the rainforest remodel. The goal, what we're talking about right now, or at least conceptually, is the summer timeframe of 2026 for that first tranche of work.
Looks like a wonderful program. Do we pin the costs are still amorphous at this stage, probably, right?
Yes. So we've been going through the process with Higley. It's I don't want to say it's a moving target, but
yeah,
we are really keeping our pulse on what's going on in terms of the industry with all the costs.
I think there's, you know, to tie in, the strength of this agency is just blocking and tackling all of these things. This is the largest capital project, the sesquicentennial, which I absolutely love. I think it's a great thing, Dr. Kuhar. When you look at the magnitude and the work that this group has done, the trips that we've taken to really look at what technology is available, how to do this, and then you look at truncating this thing, this project over a 10-year period of time with the resources that we have, our partner, the Cleveland Zoological Society, has already raised more for this capital project than they had for their largest one prior to this. And so we've got a lot of things that we have to do. It's walk before you run. So we're going to continue to work ourselves forward to this with the numbers that we have and how we can actually get there. Having AM Higley on so early was one of the key components of making sure that we can bring this in the number and the range that we're thinking. So we do appreciate the question, but we'll keep bringing the packages forward based on the funding.
Exciting. Very exciting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is the end of the information briefing items. We do have an executive session for two items. Rose?
Yes. Is there a motion to go into executive session for the two purposes? First, purchase and acquisition of real property, and secondly, imminent litigation.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Roll.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. As soon as we clear the room, we can begin our executive session.
Yes.
Sorry.
We're back. Yeah, we're back in session, and we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Aye.